Hello, welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas. Coming up later in the show, Jan and Craig will be here to reflect on what we saw at Wembley in those two FA Cup semi-finals. We start, though, in Italy, where once again, Juventus will be champions. For any sort of hope of there being some sort of excitement for the last four games, we need Lazio to get a result today. However, it was Juve and Cristiano Ronaldo who beat them by 2-1. Julian Laron and Gab Marcotti joining me. Gab, that's it. Done and dusted.
Well, I'll tell you who doesn't think so, Dan, and that's Cristiano Ronaldo, because he came out after the game and said, yeah, great win, but, you know, it's only 8 points. There's four games to go. We can't afford to relax now. But obviously, he's engaging in athlete speak, and maybe if you look really, really closely, you could see his nose getting a little bit longer. But I have to say, you know, that attitude, that not letting up attitude, I think this is what Juve needed. And I think maybe if they'd had that a little bit earlier, they wouldn't have turned this into sort of this very painful ending to the season, because obviously it's been a very, very bumpy ride since the restart.
It's incredible, Jules, because Cristiano Ronaldo does take up so many column inches and we spend so much time talking about him. Yet you look at the stats, 30 goals in 30 games this season.
Yeah, pretty incredible. 50 Serie A goals now in 61 games. No one has reached 50 quicker than Cristiano. He's scored more, 50 goals or more now in Serie A, in La Liga, in the Premier League as well. No one has ever done that before him. So it's pretty incredible on the year where you have no Ballon d'Or, as we will mention later. He's still having one of those years. He's 35 years old. Let's not forget that. And at that age, to keep having those numbers, to keep being decisive. Okay, there's 12 penalties, and I think that's 41% of the goals he scored, or just under. But you still have to score them, and it's still everything else that he does. And okay, the second goal tonight was a tap-in, but he's at the right time, at the right place once again. And he's just incredible in terms of attitude and determination and that sense and that eye for goal that he will never lose.
40% of his goals, though, penalties, Gab. Of course, all the Messi fans will be tweeting in, Penaldo, Penaldo. You've got to score them.
Yeah, and look, I mean, if we want to go and play this, funny enough, I did this before the game. If you want to look at league goals and make a comparison there, then Messi had 20 league goals and Ronaldo had 18 league goals. But there's, I'm talking from open play here, but there's four games to go, so... Look, I wish you could just put knock all this this nonsense, just knock it all away, just ignore it. Tonight, actually, I thought was all about Paulo Dybala, and has been in the last couple of games. He was Juve's best player. Ronaldo was right there for the tap-in. He was there disturbing the defender, Luis Felipe, causing the turnover and then chasing all the way and getting the ball back from Dybala to tap it in. You want to take his penalties away? Fine, let's do that. So the guy scores 18 goals from open play at the age of 35. I think that's still pretty darn special.
Since the comeback, Jules, I feel like we have been most complimentary about Dybala throughout this all. It seems strange that he wasn't meant to start this game, and yet, as Gab mentioned, came in and put in a man of the match performance because of that injury to Higuain pre-kickoff.
Yes, which is strange, and again, in the last game as well, he didn't start and Higuain started, and it felt weird that it was put on the bench when clearly, as you said, he's been the best player since the restart, and not just the best player in terms of, you know, like the one who has the best performance or scores goals or whatever, but also so instrumental in everything they were doing. So every time there's a midfielder with the ball, they look up and try to find Dybala between the lines, in space, in a little pocket, and then he will do something magic. And I just think he's become so important for that team, maybe more important than anyone else, apart from maybe Chesney, who again I thought tonight was very good with that save towards the end on that free kick in the top corner. But Dybala has been wonderful in that sort of false number nine role, where then that frees Cristiano, that frees Douglas Costa on the other side as well. And clearly that front three, or at least Ronaldo and Dybala and then whoever else plays on the right-hand side, seems to work really well. But certainly for Cristiano to have Dybala in that kind of form and playing in that role has helped massively.
We know that Dybala, of course, has shopped around 12 months ago, Gab. Is he trusted enough by Sarri to stay?
Well, this is the thing, right? I wrote about this last week, that the reason Juve, it's so painful now at the end of the season, part of it has to do with Sarri and the cultural fit, but a lot of it has to do with simply poor planning. So they brought in Cristiano, and they're like, yay, and then now let's get the De Ligt. uh-oh, now we got to go and pay for these guys. And let's not forget where Juve were and where Sarri was 12 months ago. They were in a situation where they had three strikers, all of them earning a ton of money, Mandzukic, Dybala, and Higuain, and they were desperately trying to sell them. And they would have sold Dybala if they could, until Dybala went and, you know, he said, no, I don't want to go. I want to fight for my place. He kind of convinced Sarri that it was the right thing to do. Juve didn't push him out the door. They did have opportunities. They did have offers from other clubs. And, you know, in the end, I think it's a credit to Dybala and to Sarri, because I'll tell you what, Dan, Cristiano is not going to be playing center forward effectively at this stage. We saw that in those few games when they moved him there. He needs somebody to play through the middle. Mm. Higuain, I don't think you can rely on week in, week out with his injuries and, you know, with some of the issues that he's facing. And so really, Dybala is the answer. And Dybala accepted that role and was frankly devastating in it. And, you know, he's played in a similar role earlier in his career before joining Juve. And he's kind of gone back to that. And you know, and he's a real value added to this team.
Has Sarri got enough money in the bank, Gab, that no matter what happens in the Champions League next month, he will be coach for the start of next season?
So Fabio Paratici, the Juventus' director of football, came out there, was very categorical about it. And there's two ways you can read it. You know, he came out and he said, no, he's going to be back next season. And then he said, you know, at this stage of last year, there were rumors about Allegri as well. Well, yeah, and then at this stage of last year, then eventually Allegri left. So you could read it that way if you're negative. I think they're going to see what happens in the Champions League. They're going to see what the plan is, what they're doing in terms of budgets, in terms of the market for next season. Obviously, Kulusevski is coming in to freshen up the squad. They're going to see Arturo, of course, from Barcelona. It feels like the squad is being built for Sarri. But I think equally, you know, they can't hide the fact of what's been going on in the last couple months. And I don't know, if it's a bad exit from the Champions League, either against Lyon or in the next round, I think they could still revisit this.
Right then, let's just switch things slightly, shall we, Jules? France football announced there'll be no Ballon d'Or this year. Seems strange.
It is a bit strange, although they thought it was not fair because some leagues hadn't started again, like France, obviously, and others that started earlier than some, with more preparation maybe, or less preparation, and then maybe you could not really judge the players' performances after such a long break. And again, with all the disparities of when did you go back playing, when did your season finish, how long did it go on for, etc., etc. On one hand, I understand. On the other hand, for all the people who say it's a conspiracy, it's this and it's that. Let's not forget that the Ballon d'Or is France football's most sold issue of the whole year. So it's a huge loss for them not to have a Ballon d'Or and all the build-up to it, plus the main issue with whoever the winner is and etc., etc. They're going to lose some money because of it. So they didn't take that decision lightly, and they didn't just take it because Ligue 1 didn't start, and that means that either Neymar and Mbappe couldn't get the Ballon d'Or. Because I think that's
if Neymar scores a hat-trick in the next three rounds of the Champions League and they go on to win it, then he wins it. Then it's fine. That's all right, isn't it? I don't get it. Surely the Ballon d'Or isn't a big enough deal that they've just got to think, oh, no, we really should cancel it this year. It seems such a strange, weird decision. Like, overall, I understand what you're saying to a bit, Jules, but Bayern Munich, for example, will play two less matches than they would have done normally because of those two legs. Like, what? Just do it. Just, it's fine. It's a weird award.
But Dan, this is the thing, right? I get the idea. Look, it's called France football. There's no French football, so there can't be an award. And I'm sorry, I appreciate what Jules says, but we're kind of talking about this more because there's not going to be a Ballon d'Or. This thing is nonsense. It's a big popularity contest anyway. And, you know, we attach way too much importance to this than we really should. It's a big, fun talking point. We can still have our fun talking point. Maybe we should give our own award. You know, we'll call it the Ballon de ESPN or something.
Ballon de Berlin.
We can go and do something like that because, you know, frankly, the whole thing is silly. And, you know, if they want to cancel it, go ahead, cancel it. You get your publicity that way.
Yeah, but what are you doing? France football, the only people anyone knows about France football outside of France, Jules, is because of the Ballon d'Or. It's a complete head scratcher.
It is a bit, and I think a lot of people were surprised and disappointed, and I'm sure amongst the players, because let's not forget, I mean, Gab can criticize it as all he wants. It's still an objective for a lot of players. A lot of players dream of winning the Ballon d'Or and having them on their mantelpiece or whenever in their office, in their house. And Cristiano and Messi certainly, you know, could have done with another one, for example. So it's a big disappointment. And again, I agree with everything you've been saying. It's a surprising choice by them, especially if you think about the money that they will lose out of it as well.
Yeah, and then why make it now? You know, if the Champions League's rubbish or whatever. You know, I don't know. I just don't get it at all. We will, I'm sure, have plenty of discussions down the line as to who would have won the Ballon d'Or. That is for another day, maybe, post the Champions League. For now, gentlemen, thank you very much. By the way, for more from Gab and Jules, you can check out their latest podcast, which is available to download over on the website.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. The lineup is set then for this year's FA Cup final. It'll be Chelsea against Arsenal. We're here to reflect on what we saw at Wembley over the last couple of days. Craig Burley and Jan Fjortoft. Let's start off, shall we, with United's defeat against Chelsea. Jan, your boy dropped the ball, didn't Ollie, with all those changes?
Well, he did, but the selection of what they used to call the best goalkeeper in the world. I mean, they put their first goalkeeper there, made two big mistakes. Lindelof on the first goal, how in the world could he let Giroud come past him? That was boys against men in that situation. Well, that was a week that for Ole and Frank, this will define their season. So, and they started with Leicester getting beaten, and then there was a semi-final, and Ole got the Leicester result that he wanted, but it's going to be a big week. And he put up a team, I must say, that he wanted to beat Chelsea. Greenwood been a bit tired the last games. Pogba been out for injuries. But no excuses. It's easy. If you do mistakes that Manchester United did this Sunday, there is no way you deserve to get to a FA Cup final. And I think that Arsenal and Chelsea, they are the two teams that deserve to be there in the final of the 1st of August.
A lot of talk, obviously, Craig, about David De Gea and how he slipped from his performances. If you look back, and we've looked through the stats, so apparently if you go back to two seasons ago, for those two campaigns, he made two errors leading to a goal. In the last two seasons, he's made eight errors. Despite all this, Ollie says, look, he's his number one goalkeeper. He hasn't even thought about dropping him for these big games coming up, where, of course, United are looking to qualify for the Champions League.
Yeah, and he's taken all the flak, but Jan's right. That was a good point, that Lindelof's defending was shocking on that occasion. And then De Gea's second mistake, really, when young Brandon Williams played a poor pass, you're looking for your goalkeeper to bail you out. Look, the United manager here is protecting his player. That's normal, right? It's not about the mistake at Wembley when Solskjaer says, well, I know where you're coming from. You're trying to, you know, get a rift in there between me and my goalkeeper. It's not about, and he knows this, it's not about that mistake at the weekend alone. There have been many. We've discussed David De Gea on this show many, many times over the last 12 to 18 months. And this is just another occasion. Look, I thought the message, and I said this yesterday, but the message from the United manager was very conflicting. Because here he selected a goalkeeper in David De Gea while leaving out his cup goalkeeper in Sergio Romero. But surely to leave him out, you've got to go to Romero and say, if you go to Romero and say, listen, I know you've played in the cup, but I'm going to, this is a big game here. We're under pressure. We want FA Cup final as well as top four. I'm playing my best team. That's it and all about it. He would have to accept that. But it was very, but Romero must have sat there and thought, well, hold on a minute. I'm the cup goalkeeper. I'm not getting game time. And he's not playing his best team because Pogba's on the bench, Greenwood's on the bench, and Martial's on the bench. On top of that, he changed the system. So I just think Ole Gunnar Solskjaer got everything wrong. Yes, players made mistakes, but his message to his team was very conflicting in its selection, I thought.
And leading up to that as well, Jan, we heard the excuses being made even before the game kicked off. 48 hours more to prepare. And then the players, you imagine that gets in their psyche because United just didn't look up for this clash at all.
Well, I guess you talk to me now as a Norwegian ambassador. I'm not a Norwegian ambassador. I am one who saw the game as well. I mean, I interviewed him on Friday. There was no excuses. He said, that's just how things are. We have to do, the program is like what we're having. I'm happy that we are in the Cup semi-final. But let's make no mistakes about it. And I'm not saying I love the FA Cup and Arsenal-Chelsea is a traditional great, great final. But the main thing now for Manchester United is to get into that Champions League. And I think that we're missing a bit point, for example, with Greenwood. He hasn't looked good lately. Well, Pogba and Martial, fair point. But he put out a team to win that game. And I'm not saying only that Manchester United did bad. I think Chelsea did well in that game. He chose a 3-5-2 soldier. That was the system who beat them. The last time he had beaten Frank Lampard two times before this season, And so I'm not defending soldier. I'm just saying the main thing for him now is West Ham on Wednesday. If they win that game, I think they probably will take that top four position. And coming Sunday, Frank Lampard could find himself in fifth position. That is how this week will define Frank Lampard and Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Jan, I've had enough of your anti-Frank Lampard ways. Meanwhile, let's focus on what else happened, shall we, in the other FA Cup semi-final, because, Craig, it was interesting, I'm sure, like the rest of the world. I was watching the preview show that you were on, and you were talking, even before kickoff, about the fact that maybe City were a little arrogant going into this game.
Well, I think, you know, when team sheets come out, what we all sort of do in this business is we look at them and we look for little storylines within the team sheets. Clearly, Arsenal was the much vaunted front three of the big signings, Aubameyang, Lacazette and Pepe. So that sort of stuck out. And the thing that stuck out for me, and I said to you yesterday, was no natural defensive midfielder. Now, people can throw some mud around and say, well, Gundogan is a bit of an all-round player, but he's not a natural defensive midfielder. And that stuck out to me, Dan, because it doesn't take a rocket scientist to tell you where the biggest Achilles heel has been for Manchester City. That has been when they've been in possession, they've been butchered on the counter-attack because defensively they've been poor, they've been positionally poor and they've made bad decisions. And when you think about it, Arsenal were always going to sit in. City were always going to dominate this game. But when Arsenal pinched the ball and hit it over the top or try to utilise that space in front of the back four with that front three, surely to hell is one of the best coaches on the planet. You got to realise that even in a game where you're boss in possession, you need to have a Fernandinho or a Rodri organising the back four and organising the players around you. And they just didn't have that. And I thought it was, yes, arrogant and in somewhat aloof to think you can just go in against a decent Arsenal side, but certainly one with a potent front three, that you can just go in there, dominate possession and win the game. And I thought that was a little bit arrogant for Guardiola to go with that team.
Jan?
Well, fair points. And I think that was a Manchester City that didn't create chances either. And I think that, I mean, you see Arteta, we talked about it before the game, about Arteta knowing how dominant, how much he's thinking of different plan A, B, C, D, the Pep Guardiola. And I think that Arteta did a great job. He put them people around the box. David Luiz, for me, man of the match. And I was very happy for him because we all thought he was a clown in some performances this season. But they defended very well. And there was not many chances that Manchester City created in that game. And that second goal for Aubameyang, I mean, that kind of summed up the whole game for me. The weaknesses of Manchester City and the great performance of Arsenal. And I'm happy I've got a Gunnar son who's been desperate now for 4 or 5 years seeing Arsenal and coming in somewhere. And for Arsenal, that was a great, great step. It was also a great step for Arteta, giving that confidence to the major Arsenal fans who think that times are going bad. And I saw some stats that Wenger never had that amount of points. And at the end of the day, they kind of took him out of Arsenal, an Arsenal legend. But now with Arteta beating his Platon, being the Aristoteles, I think that was a major, major performance by Arsenal Football Club.
Wait, Jan,
but do you know what, Dan? The thing is, and Jan, you know this as a front man, when teams put so many players behind the ball, even for the best of teams, it can be difficult to break them down. And so when City are not at their best and Arsenal have so many bodies behind the ball, it can be difficult. Sometimes that just doesn't come down. People talk about tactical geniuses sometimes and all that. It's a lot of nonsense. Sometimes you get a lot of men behind the ball, you hit on the counter-attack. The one thing I would say here about, I know we're going to discuss Man City at some point in terms of potential signings, but it just seems to me these days with some of these coaches, right, Guardiola has pretty much known about the problems in his squad from the start of the season. Certainly, you know, a third of the way into the season, Dan, he knew with the Laporte injury and other issues, the back four was a problem. The space in front of the back four was a problem. The fact that Fernandinho had to go back and play there was an issue, but he'd signed Rodri. But for God's sake, that's why you're a coach. Fix it. Try your best to fix it during the season. Work on it. Don't just talk about, well, the transfer window's coming, so we'll go and sign X, Y, and Z, and that'll solve the problem. What's happening with these coaches actually solving the problem during the season and working on it? Because it looks to me, it's pretty much City haven't given a damn about that issue because they're continuing to do the same things and make the same mistakes. And as great as Guardiola's teams are going forward, and they're pleasing on the eye, and they've got all these big stars, he's made one iota of a difference to them defensively as this season's gone on.
Their season continues. Next up, Real Madrid in the Champions League. Bigger picture after the Premier League ends, Jan. They do take that lead into that second leg. Obviously, there's some vulnerability there. Real Madrid looking great after the break, unbeaten going on to win the title. How concerned should Manchester City fans be?
Well, it's a very good point because when the time this game was to be played, you would say that Manchester City will kind of fly that through. And then you see Manchester City's form and you see Real Madrid. There is something about Real Madrid and they got exactly what Manchester City and some teams are lacking. They have, for example, a Ramos there, a winner, a proven winner. And you just get that feeling, that winning mentality, that will is like unbelievable at Real Madrid. And you sometimes miss that by some of the Guardiola's team. And I remember also that sometimes the Guardiola's team, it was the same at Bayern Munich at the end. The couple of last months of the season, they kind of fade away. And when you see Real Madrid now, we're talking about their coach. I mean, is there any chance that we can start rating Zidane? When they're doing well, we see he leaves his stars to themselves. And then when they lose games, we see, that's because he leaves the stars to themselves. And now when they're back, we're saying it's just because he take a back seat. Zidane, have a look at his trophies. I'm not only talking about the professors of the game. See who's winning trophies. And Manchester City fans, they should be concerned because if there is one team that can come to England and turn this around, is Real Madrid.
Well, continuing on the defensive theme, Craig, The Guardian reporting that Manchester City looking to sign Nathan Ake from Bournemouth for $35 million. Does this deal make sense for you?
I think anybody who improves that defence makes sense. Look, Chelsea sent this player out a few years ago to get game time. He wasn't getting enough at Stamford Bridge, so they let him go. The reports were that they were one of the clubs interested as well in bringing him back. He's a Dutch international. He's 25 now, so he's at a very good age. It's difficult to judge when you're in a side that struggled like Bournemouth have this season. But he has shown at times in terms of the defensive work that he's done, albeit, you know, the rest of the team, the structure around him hasn't exactly performed well. But he reads the game well. He's big and strong. He's very, very quick across the ground. And he's an aggressive defender. So clearly Guardiola sees something in him he likes. If you think about it, Guardiola was interested in Johnny Evans reportedly a couple mm-hmm. of years ago. So he's seeing players within this division, the division that he's in that he likes, that he knows can play in this division. And I think that tips the balance in terms of the kind of player he's trying to bring in.
Do you agree? This seems like a no-brainer, really. If you can get him at that sort of price, Jan, he's going to make your team better. It makes sense?
Well, they certainly have the age. I mean, Kubaya of Napoli, 29, he's been more or less linked to every club in England. He can't play for can only play for one of them, but it makes sense. Having said that, it's very, very difficult to sign centre-halves. I mean, it seems that they all want them. Look at Chelsea, they will look for that. We were talking about the weekend, which central defenders they can take from Germany. It's hard to find them. And you see Bayern Munich, one of the favourites to the Champions League now, they have been struggling. Thank God for them. They got Boateng back in shape. So, yeah, it makes sense. But there is a danger that this could be a new a Stones kind of signing, because he is not good enough. He's playing for Bournemouth, and if Manchester City will have the kind of ambition to play in the Champions League, it's not like easy to just get one defender in there to solve all their problems. I think it's sometimes it's easier to sign a striker, because a striker will have a proven record in amount of goals. A central defender, you don't know when you get him into your team, will he fit to the way you want to play? Will he defend well enough? And then you've got these kind of central defenders that Luis and Hummels, that is better going forward than defend. So I think that is a major thing that they have to solve, all these scouts, to find good central defenders out there.
Finally, Jan, this story seems to be developing quickly. Kai Havertz to Chelsea.
Agreed personal terms is the latest from Germany. Bayer Leverkusen have told all the clubs, we want 100 million euro. They said that 1 year ago that we will let you go next summer, but we need the price. And if you have a look around now in this transfer window coming up, it's anyone's guess how much money that will flow around. But it seems at the moment that Chelsea Football Club is the only club who kind of get up the finances. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has been saying, well, I have to look at my finances. We know that Jurgen Klopp wanted Timo Werner. The American owner said no. And now Kai Havertz seems to be on his way to Chelsea. But just wait a moment, because they want 100 million euro. And Craig, you will know, but Chelsea, they like to do good deals. So this could be some interesting development the next days.
Selling Craig to Celtic, of course, their best deal. Does this work for you, Craig?
Well, listen, I would take Havertz in a minute, honestly. You add that to Werner and Ziyech. Pulisic is already there. Giroud signed a short-term contract. Tammy Abraham. Mason Mount. The list goes on. We saw Hudson-Odoi come on yesterday as well. Ruben Loftus-Cheek, an attacking midfielder. Listen, it's overweighted. The only thing I would say, it would become seriously overweighted in that front third, because there is no doubt if Havertz comes in for that kind of money that Jan mentioned, on top of what they've already agreed to spend, then clearly Abramovich is opening the checkbook. But it doesn't take a genius to watch Chelsea and say they need centre-halves, they need a left-back, yeah, and that's going to cost money as well, because we've just talked about all the other clubs looking at centre-halves. Arsenal, Manchester City, all these Bayern Munich, all these top clubs out there searching for really good centre-halves. Chelsea are in that business as well, but they seem to be trying to load it at the front at the moment. But it would be a big statement for them, Dan, be a big statement in backing Frank Lampard. But boy, he's going to have to go and find at least two defenders, maybe three good ones.
If I'm a Chelsea fan, Jan, I would be saying, yeah, don't do this. If I've got 100 million, drive it to Naples, give it to Napoli. I want Koulibaly. You know, I think attacking-wise, we're all right. At the back, as Craig mentioned, you're vulnerable. I think this could be a mistake, couldn't it? Not necessarily Havertz isn't good enough, but you're not reinforcing where you need to.
Well, I agree that they need more. But the same with Manchester City, need a left back, need a centre half. And I will bring in a joker, David Alaba, playing for Bayern Munich and playing many, many different positions. He is dealing, negotiating with Bayern Munich at the moment. He's waiting, he's patient. He doesn't want to sign a contract with Bayern Munich. He's the favourite player of Pep Guardiola. Just wait what will happen in Munich. I think big money could be spent in Munich. David Alaba can play left back, he can play centre half, he can play number six. He has also played number eight for his national team, Austria. So this is the joker in the transfer window coming up.
Be interested to see how all this plays out, of course, over the summer. Just a reminder, more from Jan and Craig available on Extra Time, which you can check out over on our YouTube channel.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Well, that brings us to the end of today's show. Be sure to stay tuned, though. I think we may have broken a record for Extra Time, arguably one of the longest ever. Craig and Jan with me to answer your questions. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Jan and Craig with me. One main subject that everybody has been tweeting about, mainly you, Craig. Here's just a sample. Craig, were you responsible for the cancellation of the Ballon d'Or? I didn't know you had so much pull. Another one, how devastated is Craig knowing that there's no Ballon d'Or this year? How much will he miss all the build-up speculation and list discussion, etc.? Does this mean the return of the boiling point? You must be gutted, Craig.
I didn't ask. This is me just learning for the first time.
Ah, there you go, you see. Because you're off Twitter now, you don't know what's going on in the world.
Well, I've deleted my app, not my Twitter account. I'm having a sabbatical from the moronic element, which is 99.9%.
Well, there will be no Ballon d'Or this year.
But unfortunately, I don't get my news. Like, I like Twitter for my news. But yeah, it's a choker, isn't it? But this is the thing. I know what our producers are like. I just know they'll say, but who would have won the Ballon d'Or? Well, if it had been happening, so we'll probably have some discussion about it anyway.
Of course, near the top of that list, Jan, takes us to the next tweet. Should Lewandowski feel hard done by that the Ballon d'Or is cancelled? Do you believe that he will ever have as good a season as he had this season ever again?
Well, I've got some news for you, Craig. Chelsea are in the final of FA Cup. I don't know if you knew that, but there's some news coming out of England at the moment. I think Lewandowski can do a same season. Have a look at his goal scoring record in last years. He's always scoring over 30 goals, but it would be my favourite. I mean, just get a feeling that when Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo are not up for it, they just can't, well, up for it. They have had great seasons and Messi breaking all records. But for me, Lewandowski would have been my favourite. And I think that's a silly thing. Why didn't they do that? Because they didn't have to play for fans or something. Corona, COVID-19 couldn't be enough. They could do Ballon d'Or. What is this all about? You can do it on Zoom or Skype or whatever. Just nominate the best player in the world. How difficult is that?
I know, yeah, and I thought it was a bit weird as well because, okay, there's no international tournament, but it's given out normally when there's no World Cup or no Euros. And you think about it, what, Bayern are going to play two matches less in theory than they would have done in a normal season if they make it into the Champions League final. Seems weird. I don't get it. Craig, I'm sure you've got many thoughts about this.
Messi, Cristiano Ronaldo conspiracy.
Oh, you think so? Because they want to win it.
They won't get it this season and they would say, we won't come there for a second, for a silver or a bronze. We only go for the gold. And Lewandowski is for me Ballon d'Or. You heard it first here.
Well,
us.
Well, he's not going to win.
Yeah, that is a good point, Dan. I mean, why the hell are they? I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm chuffed to bits. But why are they cancelling it? I mean, the major leagues, only France, haven't restarted.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, and I don't think really Mbappe or Neymar were going to win it this year. So, I mean, what's the issue? I mean, people are travelling again, really. I mean, not in their thousands, but you can travel. All the football's restarted. It doesn't have to be a big crowd there because there's only a small number of people that are going to be in the voting to win it. So there's only going to be you could easily social distance. I mean, honestly, I don't know. The people that make these decisions are just absolutely off their rocker.
Okay. Trust me.
What you could do the same party, take away all the uninteresting things that are happening at the ceremony like that. You can have Infantino's speech away, and then you have 5 minutes, you have the best player in the world. How different. I can do it on my iPhone. Yeah. I mean, perfect. This is a terrible decision. We have to think of who will be the best player in the world. We want it back.
Yes. Oh, go on, Jan, lead the charge. Craig will count the votes.
Well, you know what? You can, you know, it's not carrier pigeon votes these days. This is 2020. You can vote automatically, can't you? You can vote with the technology. I mean, it's just crazy. Yeah. Just vote for the best player.
Yeah.
Through the technology, and get the Ballon d'Or trophy to his house with a camera or wherever, or the football club, announce it. I'm contradicting myself here. Because I don't want it to happen, but I just don't understand why it's not happening. Anyway, we've talked far too much about the Ballon d'Or. Right.
Let's move away from the Ballon d'Or and go to YouTube clips, shall we, Jan? I was looking at some old football clips on YouTube and I saw a video of Roy Keane punching you in a match. Can you provide any context, or was it just Keane being himself?
Not hard
well,
enough.
Just Keane being himself. I mean, that's for sure. But we had our manager at Middlesbrough at that time was Brian Robson. So after the game, the week coming up after, he said to me, Jan, could you sign a letter where we'll ask for Roy Keane not being punished for you punching you? I'm just happy when I look at that clip that I'm not diving, that I'm not rolling around. But it was just one of those things. He just punched me in my face, and he knew that he would be red carded. Off he went. We went to the holiday after the season. The first one I meet with his family in Sardinia is Roy Keane. That's how football is.
Oh, and what did he say? I imagine he didn't apologise, Jan.
He punched me. No, I'm just kidding.
This time you're not getting up. That's
No. He was Roy Keane. I mean, we played at that time with Roy Keane, with Eric Cantona. I was playing a game at Swindon when he stamped John Moncur, and everybody thought, well, he will learn a lesson. And the next game, he got sent off again. I mean, that Manchester United had that to them. Sometimes big teams miss that. They miss the Roy Keane. They miss the Eric Cantona of football.
Craig, you get on with him quite well, don't you?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we were the same era, so he never punched me. I don't pretend to be bosom buddies with Roy, but you know, he's a very amicable guy. He just sort of plays that character sometimes. He did it on the field, and he'll do it sometimes on TV now. But he's actually, he has his moments, Roy. But he's a pretty decent bloke to talk to. He was also a big Celtic fan, which I think was one of the reasons that I got on okay with him. He's one of the Celtic fans that's not upset of my criticisms of their performances.
That's a very small Venn diagram. Who is the biggest practical joker that you've ever had as a teammate? Craig?
I've answered this one a few times.
Well, people might not listen to the show every day.
It was on Extra Time.
Well, they might not listen to Extra Time every day. People are busy.
Well, I'm going to ask the same question. Well, I would say John Spencer, you know I'm going to say that. He was the biggest practical joker at Chelsea.
Yeah. Jan?
Yeah.
I would say Dean Saunders.
Oh, really?
Oh.
Yeah. Great lad. I mean, he was like, I played with him at Sheffield United, and he came on and there were potatoes in the air, there were throwings, there were parodies. He was fantastic doing people. He did Will Donaghy, that Will Donaghy thought he spoke himself. He was the assistant manager there to Nigel Spackman. He was hilarious. I will go for a great goal getter as well, Dean Saunders.
Yeah.
Listen, you weren't... was you teammates with Robbie Mustard, Jan, at Middlesbrough?
Yeah, he was not the practical joker.
The complete opposite end of a practical joker.
Robbie Mustard had Google Map before Google Map made Google Map. And I remember when we were going to away games, he kind of had, okay, we're coming to Leeds now. And in so many miles, we are coming to Manchester. And people love that, of course. But Robbie, a great lad, has to be said.
Ah, dear.
He said, but he missed a series, didn't he? It reminds me of a Dean Saunders story that one of the lads told me when he was at Bradford. He was at Bradford City at a time where they were spending quite a bit of money, and Jim Jeffries was the manager, the Scottish manager. He used to be manager of Hearts, great guy. And he was trying to get Dean out. And so he pulled him into the office, because you know Jan, Dean's sense of humour. Dean's son has got a wicked sense of humour. So Jim Jeffries pulled him into the office and he sat him down and he said, look, I've had Dundee United on the phone and they're looking at a possible loan. And Dean, who had been around and earned a few quid, said, yeah, yeah, no problem. He said, how much are they looking for? Jim Jeffries just shook his head and says, oh, get out. Oh, how much are they looking for?
It just has to be said, but I played in Austria and then I played in Germany, but when a practical jokers in English football were fantastic. And I also played with John Moncur, and we West Ham player. When I played with him in Swindon, and he always used to go out in the bus, you know, with that up in the air in the bus, and he was crawling on the roof and then coming forward and knocking on the door, coming into the bus, and the chairman and manager, what is going on? And great sense of humour in English football grounds. I'm not sure if it's still around in the dressing rooms anymore, but the English humour, or the UK humour, sorry, Craig, I love that.
Stevie was definitely a victim of quite a few practical jokes from Hanson and Dalgleish from the story.
I don't think I would be very surprised how much of that goes on anymore. But certainly, you know, in the 70s, 80s, 90s, maybe early 2000s, it was rife. It was absolutely. It used to be. I've said this to you before, Dan. It was an absolute. If you had a really good squad of players. Whether you had the best team or not didn't matter, but if you had a really good squad of players with practical jokers, and you couldn't wait to go to training every day because it was so much fun.
Right.
And I think it's just a big business now, and kind of, you know, there's so much money involved that I'm sure they have some fun, but it's so serious now with all the, you know, the rigmarole that goes on around it.
Didn't you used to put your teeth in other people's drinks and things?
Yeah, I had the lads were asking me about at the golf club about this the other day. And I said, look, I got to a point, I said, I got to get these teeth fixed permanently, because obviously when I was playing, I had the dentures, and you had to take them out for safety reasons. And one of the reasons people say, well, why don't you get them fixed when you're playing, is because if you get an elbow, they all get knocked back out again. So you generally have to wait till you stop. But whenever we'd go out for beers or that, they always end up, you know, after like 7 or 8 pints, they always ended up on somebody's drink, or they ended up on Jackie McNamara's prawn cocktail one night. Then he threw them across a busy bar in Glasgow, and I couldn't find them. Lads were searching for them for about 20 minutes. Ah, it was horrendous. It was very childlike for people that are 27, 28 years
old.
I
bet. Very sanitary as well.
But I think, Dan, I just want to say that because I think it's a fair point. I think that's what the generation of my age, so to say, that's what we miss. We miss this closeness to the chairmen, to the managers. It was so different. I had Howard Kendall at Sheffield United away games. Howard Kendall, the legend, the Everton legend, he kind of took off his clothes. He was just in his underwear. And then he was coming back in the bus and said, OK, boys, will we have play some cards? Can you imagine Pep Guardiola taking off his clothes, going for an away game of Manchester City? It was like, it was horrendous. And that I miss. I know how much we had to train. I know how much mentally we had to be prepared to be there. So I don't miss the playing days, but I miss those incidents.
Moving on from Howard Kendall's underwear, how long will this subdued version of Craig Burley last? I know you've been that subdued, have you, Craig? You weren't subdued when you were told you had to wait for Stuart Robson to record yesterday's show.
Yeah, that was quickly biffed. The show, the game was finishing at 3 o'clock, and we were officially told we were not going to record the show till 5, at which point I almost self-combusted and threw a few toys out the pram along with Stevie Nicol and others. And we got it shifted till 3 and Robson got biffed off. We don't wait around. Have I been subdued? Is it just because I've been... I don't know, have I?
I don't think you have.
Maybe I've... No. Have I just not been my really horrible... I've not had anybody to argue with.
No, you threatened to drive here and punch me in the face yesterday, so I don't think that's particularly subdued. OK.
Well, I tell you why it is. I tell you why it is at the moment. Well, one, we're not in the studio.
Yep.
Two, there's a little leeway for all the pandemic.
Oh.
Clearly.
Lovely.
And you've got to choose your words carefully, obviously.
Yep.
And the third one is... I haven't been on with the journos that much recently. Because you know it's the journos that get right up my hooter.
Yes. Yeah, I know you love the journos breaking it down.
Yeah, when the journos start breaking down the tactics, that's when the steam comes out my ears, you know what I mean? I'm like, hold on here, stay in your lane, you know what I mean? So we haven't had that.
No, that's true. If you want to see a very unsubdued version, I could go to the journo first and then to you. Or we could just have you on the phone, Greg, listening to them.
Yeah.
Is Mourinho simply trying to push Harry Kane out the door with his Harry Kane would not be so special at another team? Think he'll go to Man City to replace Aguero or Real Madrid to take over for Benzema, Jan?
No, I don't think so, because Mourinho is desperate to have that kind of player because he needs a big number nine, because sometimes Mourinho don't have the same ideas that he used to have. So no, he needs a big striker to play the ball up to him. And I think we should... Sometimes we have a go with Mourinho, and sometimes you say, I always loved Mourinho. Sometimes you're getting a bit bitter, and I've interviewed him so many times when he's trying to bully me right out of my mind. But I don't think he will let Kane go. He will stick to him because this is more or less his plan A, to play the ball to Harry Kane.
Yeah, and do you think you get more respect from players and managers when you interview them because you played the game? I imagine you would, wouldn't you? As opposed to me doing it.
No, well, I don't think... I mean, what do you get respect if you're a lot of games? I mean, the season when I got Klopp in the final, he sung in my studio, is because I was at every game. And I think that you have to be there. Maybe you get in a door, maybe sometimes. But I think Mourinho, he wouldn't know that I played football. So it's nothing to do with that. I think you have to earn your right in any position, and be a former footballer, that is a bad occupation.
Hey, Dan, what do you think of the glasses?
Lovely. Yeah, they really, really suit you, Craig. Beautiful. Why have you got pink ones?
They're not pink, they're red.
They look quite pink. They're kind of peachy.
They're the wife's.
Yeah, I was going to say, they're definitely Mrs. Burley's.
She's away just now.
Oh, they're lucky her. I wonder why.
We had this idea a few years ago at one of the broadcasters I worked for in England, that they were going to send me to the training ground of the Premier League team that we were doing that week. So the Saturday commentary that Champers and I would be doing, they would send us to a team, and it was to see how, what they were working on with set pieces and all that. And I reminded the producer, who's Stephen Cook at the time, that on entry, even if I was given permission to get entry to the training ground, at that point I would have probably been mauled by at least 12 to 15 players and coaching staff for the commentary the week before, you know what I mean? So, you know, it's just not, you know, I don't know. It's just not going to happen. You know, I don't think they respect former players or that anymore than journalists. They just, it depends what line of questioning you come. You know, if they've had a good result, might be happier. If they've had a bad result, they get narky. That's the way they are.
And what's that got to do with your glasses?
Well, absolutely nothing. I just put them on to anybody that clips on this video can just see what a nice pair of red glasses looks like.
Perfect. Right. Jan.
Question. A good question.
Jan.
Lampard. Well, what's this? What are these questions got to do? What's anything got to do with anything on here?
I don't know. You put the glasses on if they had some relevance to Mourinho or interviews.
Well, yeah, the relevance
and then you start going
relevant,
off about Stephen Cook sending you to training grounds.
I thought, Mrs. Burley got to do with Mourinho?
Well, I just put them on. I asked you if you liked them or not. That's all. That's all I did.
Right. This is going to be asked a lot, I feel, Jan, over the next few weeks. Lampard or Ollie, who had the best season?
Well, we know. I mean, that is so. That is the main question. You know, this whole week will define that. If one of them will be out of Champions League, it will be a failed season. I mean, people will have a look to what has all the done. He's 19 games without losing, and then he played Chelsea, a very poor display. Frank Lampard, he didn't have money to spend. I said before the season, I think that was an advantage for Lampard, because then whatever he did this season, people would say, well, he didn't have money to spend. But to be fair to him, he's done brilliantly with the young kids, bringing them into new areas of their greatness, so to say. And Ole or Frank, I will make it quite easy. I will do it very tabloid. Top four, that's the one.
What if they both get top four, which is very likely?
Then Rodgers will go away.
But Rodgers isn't. Rodgers isn't in the discussion yet.
If they both get
top four, Ole or Frank, then?
No, but I will say it like this. I will talk like the politicians now. I think it's an interesting question, because if you saw this week, and I think it was good to see you had Arteta at Arsenal, you had Frank Lampard at Chelsea, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer at Manchester United, more or less same generation, more or less same club legends, being there for a long time.
Yeah, and stop filibustering it. It's a simple question. If they both finish in the Champions League, who's had a better season?
Well, the best season, that will be Frank Lampard.
There we go!
If he wins
there
the FA Cup final. You think I'm a Norwegian ambassador?
Well, you
I'm
not a Norwegian. Just give me that answer straight away and we'd have been fine.
Okay, then. Okay.
Listen,
what do you think about my glasses?
Yeah. You've moved out of shot now. You got too excited.
Listen. The next time Jan comes on, we have to get the graphic changed for his name.
What's it have to be? Norwegian ambassador?
Norwegian Boris Johnson. That's all it says.
Jan, who signed that Arsenal shirt?
Look at his hair.
Yes, it is a bit Boris-esque.
Yeah, go on. I'm not going to say who else you could look like.
Oh, my goodness. That's impressive. It's a Wurzel Gummidge.
Oh, dear.
I got a Gunnarsson. My Marcus is a big, big Arsenal fan. He got that signed from Özil, one of his favorite players at the time. So I put that in the back. Normally, I got only German shirts. So, yeah. You see Frankfurt.
Why is he an Arsenal fan?
Okay.
Why is he an Arsenal fan, Jan?
Because when he was 5 or 6, he said to me, I support Manchester United, Liverpool, Chelsea and Arsenal. And I said, my son, you're not allowed to do that. And he said, why? And I said, because you have to pick one team. And I said, which team played the best football?
Right.
And he said he was 6 at the time. And he said, Arsenal. And Arsenal at that time, they were a very good team. So I said, wise decision.
Ah, well. He's gone to regret that, hasn't he, recently?
Absolutely, over the years. I just have to say how desperate. I thought that this thing that I grew up as a Leeds United supporter, I was 7 in 74, 75, and then I played for Barnsley, Sheffield United and Middlesbrough. I couldn't say that. I could say now when we go back to the Premiership, but when Van Persie went from Arsenal to Manchester United, my son, I've never seen him like that. He said to me, I'm going into the center of Oslo now and I'm going to burn my shirt in the main streets. And I would start laughing. And he was serious.
Wow.
And I had to keep him back. Then I knew he was a real, real Arsenal Football Club fan.
Gosh.
I bet you had some cracking nights out in Barnsley.
He's at Hamilton now in Scotland. So it's close to your Glasgow. No, so he will support that. Hamilton, no, the big club in Scotland.
Okay, right, final question. This will be a long extra time. Will Jude Bellingham make it at where is he going? Oh, Borussia Dortmund.
Borussia Dortmund.
Did you see how they presented him?
No.
When the players were singing, Hey Jude.
Oh, I like that.
That's fantastic. That's German humour for you.
No.
That was fantastic. Again, Dortmund has managed to take one of the greatest talents to their club. I mean, this is the place to go if you want to go from good to great. See Erling Haaland, see all the players they brought in. And you have to congratulate Dortmund. They've taken one of the biggest talents in England. That will be good for English football, but it's very, very good for Dortmund. I think it's good for Jude as well. He's come to a club where they have a tradition to make good into great. So I think we just have to congratulate Dortmund to doing a fantastic job again.
And our Dortmund ambassador joins us again. Thank you very much, Jan. Much appreciates it. Thank you very much, Craig. Go and put your glasses on now. Do whatever you do of an evening. We will be back tomorrow for more of this. Be sure to join us.